When Jesus encounters the Samaritan woman at the well, he asks her to give him a drink. The woman is surprised, not because she knows who Jesus is, at least not at this point in the story, but she knows that Jesus is a Jew and she is Samaritan. And both of these groups were bitter enemies. Samaritans were considered foreigners to Jews. And as the story unfolds, we uncover more about this woman and what Jesus offers to her. He not only asks her for a drink, but he wants to give her the living water that comes from him. And both aspects of this story are striking when you really think about it. The Son of God, God himself, is asking for a drink, and he wants to offer water for a drink. God is asking for a drink of water, and he wants to give us a drink of water. And we can feel unworthy to do both of those things. And that's because, yes, we are unworthy to do both of those things. But that's the point about why God wants us to do these things, because he loves us. We can feel unworthy when Jesus asks for a drink, and this happens when the Lord asks us to do something, because lots of things can really hinder us from doing it. We can feel weak, our sins can be an obstacle. Physically or spiritually, we may not have the strength to do it. Or things from our past can make us feel ashamed and unworthy to do what the Lord is asking. But the same thing can happen when the Lord offers us a drink, offering us his grace. We can reject it and we can feel unworthy to receive it. We can come to Mass, for example. We can receive Holy Communion, or we can be present at Mass, but we can harden our hearts to the Lord and not really answer his call to go out and sanctify the world, which the church has asked for centuries and really clarified after the Second Vatican Council, that that's what the laity are called to do. We can be like the Israelites in our first reading, where they're complaining to Moses about being brought out of slavery in Egypt, which is kind of an interesting thing to complain about, you know, still wanting to be in slavery. But after Moses then goes and strikes the rock, which God commands him to do, there'd be no kind of source of water there, so that's a miracle in itself. And then this water then pours out, showing the glory of God. The Israelites are still complaining. They're still testing the Lord. They're still not as satisfied as they could be. And that's us. We can have this divine grace available. Every Sunday, every time we come to Mass, we can see the miracle of bread and wine that we offer to the Lord becoming the body and blood of Christ. And we can still complain that the Lord is not doing enough for us. We don't want to give Jesus a drink, and we also don't want to receive a drink from him either. We can be very stubborn for both of those things. And part of the problem is that, like the Samaritan woman, we don't always recognize Jesus. We can see him in his providence as something else, maybe the work of a great prophet or just some natural occurrence in the world. But notice how she recognizes Jesus and then begins to convert. It happens when he identifies the area of her life that is probably causing her the most unhappiness, her sin. He knows that she's had 5 husbands, and the one that she is with now is not her husband. Jesus isn't identifying this fact about her to shame her. He's doing it because he wants to rescue her. He wants to save her. He wants to restore her true identity as a child of God. And her story then leads others to conversion, and she goes to share with it in the town. When Jesus identifies those areas in our lives that we're not proud of, he doesn't do it as a way to condemn us. That's what the devil does. The devil does it to keep us stuck in our sin, to keep us stuck in a cycle of shame, as I like to call it. Rather, the Lord reveals our areas of shame to heal us, to give us the living water that will lead to eternal life. In this gospel, it's part of the so-called scrutiny gospels that are going to be proclaiming for the next 3 Sundays, and that is to aid our elect, those that are unbaptized, to be able to fruitfully receive the sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, First Holy Communion at the Easter Vigil. And it helps them to convict them of any sin in their lives and to lead them away from it. The church also provides a rite, an accompanying rite, a special prayer of exorcism to assist them in this area, which I'll do in a matter of moments. And for everyone here who is baptized, this is a time to reclaim your identity as a baptized Christian, as a son and daughter of God. And maybe there's something in your life that is preventing you from accepting that fully. And if there is, don't hide it in shame, but bring it to the Lord for him to heal, or ask Jesus to reveal it to you. Bring it to the sacrament of confession if it's an area of sin in your life. And during Lent, we offer extra confession times and penance services to help in this area. When we allow the Lord to give us a drink, we also give him a drink because he delights in healing us and makes us whole. We actually do his will by doing that, by allowing him to heal us. And when we do that, we might be surprised that the area that we are healed from might become an area of conversion for others.